This episode is proudly supported by Music Notes.
I think what happened was we would have other teachers who were not part of the AMS system, asking about these exams. You know, they'd have a friend or a neighbour who'd have an AMS piano exam certificate, and we'd get inquiries about that. And because it really was something that was just within the system, it was, yeah, no, sorry, you can't do this. So I guess what I've done now is developed it, rebranded it, extended it a little bit and gone, yes, okay, now you can do this as well.
Hi teachers, it's Tim Topham here and welcome back to the Topcast. Hope you've been having a great week. Today's episode is all about the Universal Music Exam Program, and we'll be speaking to the founder, Michelle Matter, to find out about why you might be interested in using this program, how it all works, and importantly, when it comes to examinations, you know, how pieces leveled, what pieces do you need, what prerequisites are there, do you need to do general knowledge, technical work, theory, sight reading, what is it, how does it all work, and why might you want to check it out? We're going to be unpacking all of that and more today. My guest today, Michelle, is an Australian pianist, composer, and teacher with over 30 years' experience. As a young person, Michelle was well recognized as a pianist and composer, winning the ABC Young Composers Competition here in Australia and several prestigious piano awards. Michelle studied composition here at Sydney University with Peter Sculthorpe, majoring with a Bachelor of Music in Piano Performance and Composition, and then went on to further study of composition at the Sydney Conservatorium. And then she founded the Australian Music Schools in 1993, and then over the ensuing years expanded to offer quality music education in locations across Sydney. Now she's moved on and she's running Universal Music Exams. I can't wait to introduce her and get started with today's conversation. Welcome to the show, Michelle Matter. Great to see you.
Thanks, Tim. Nice to see you too.
Now, I understand we have a mutual friend in the amazing Samantha Coates, a huge fan favorite on the podcast. She's been on a few shows. We've done webinars together. She came and spoke at my live event. So how did you guys come to be working together?
Yeah, okay. Here's the long history in a few short sentences, hopefully. So Sam is one of my oldest friends. We actually went to high school together. So we were a year apart. At the Conservatorium High School. I'm the 1 year older. And we went to school there, and it's a teeny weeny little high school. So we knew each other quite well at school, and, you know, we were always singing in choirs together and going on music camps together and all of that sort of thing. And then when we finished high school, she stayed and did a music degree at the Con, and I went to Sydney University because I wanted to do composition and piano together. And then a few years later, if you fast forward a few years, I was running a little music school at that point in Randwick in Sydney's eastern suburbs. And she came for an interview and started working with me there. And then she taught there with me for the next 27 years. So, like, that's 27, 28 years of us literally being in classrooms next door to each other. So all that collaboration. So we've talked every possible aspect of music teaching through together. We've planned concerts and all sorts of things together. And then we've written books together over the years and done all sorts of presentations. But with all of that comes a whole lot of life. So, you know, we've had our kids at similar times. We've taught each other's children right through until the end of high school. We've, you know, organized, hosted each other's birthday parties and all of that sort of stuff. So it's one of those really beautiful, frolic, friend and colleague kind of relationships. That's Sam's word, not mine. So it's been one of those incredible relationships where we've really had a whole musical life together.
Well, that small music school you mentioned became quite a big music school in the end. It's called Australian Music Schools, which you founded, as you mentioned. So just we're going to be talking about your exams shortly, Universal Music Exams. But just before that, I'm interested to know how you got to be doing the exams. And I have a feeling this process of building and running and then even selling your school has played a part in all of that. So can you just tell us, you started in Randwick, it was quite small. How did you get such growth, and where did it end up recently, size-wise?
So I started a little school in 1990 and then I think it was definitely a case of the right place at the right time. There were a lot of traditional little piano individual private teachers around, but not really a school in the area that was offering the kind of thing that we were offering. And the courses that we were running, I mean, I wrote all the AMS material, but it very much the oral skills and the playing and the singing and the percussion and the everything in a group situation with private lessons as follow-up for piano technique. And I think the model worked really, really well, and it just
grew. Just
got big quick. And so then we opened other locations, and it was very exciting and really amazing to work with so many talented teachers over the years, I think. And the thing about running something like that is the families that you connect with, you know, and running music camps for 30 years and running concerts for 30 years and the people who you get to know really well. So it was very, very special. I actually sold the business last year, in April last year, so we've just passed our first year of that, and I'm still involved with AMS but much more behind the scenes. So I'm still doing course development and training teachers and things like that, and have input into the musical side of camps and concerts, but I'm not running it. Partly that the selling decision came down to the right people at the right time. So you can't just hand your baby, your life's work over to anybody, but the right people were there at the right time to kind of take on my fully grown child after 31 years and kind of take it into the future. And it's been really lovely, actually, to see that process as well.
Yeah. How many locations and teachers did you have, or students?
Look, over the years, it has definitely fluctuated. At one point, we were running 5 or 6 locations around Sydney, or, you know, a little bit outside of Sydney as well. It's not as many as that now, but, I mean, we used to say, you know, we sort of had about 1,500 students a week by the time you took in the adult learners who came during the day and the preschoolers and then all of the after-school stuff.
So, amazing. Yeah. And
good fun.
Yeah. I mean, exhausting fun, I'm sure. Before we go on, you mentioned that one of those crucial decisions in the sale was finding the right person. How did you find the person? Were they already inside your orbit, or maybe parents, or how did that work?
No, they were already inside my staff. So the husband and wife team who have taken the reins, she had worked for me for 20 years. So I think it really took the actual AMS methodology is fairly comprehensive, and it really needed to be somebody who had walked that right the way through, from the babies right through, you know, with all of the things that go along with that, teaching the theory side of it, running in a Stedford, you know, being on camps. There's just so many little bits and pieces that feed into that bigger picture. I think it would have been really a tricky thing to find someone just out there. I think I always had thought that if it was ever going to happen, it would probably come from within our rank.
Fantastic. And I'm interested to know now, you've started an exam board, Universal Music Exams. When did the seed get sown in your mind about this? Has this been bubbling away for years and years, or was the sale the kind of catalyst, or maybe that was the catalyst for you to go into it full time? How did it emerge in your mind?
Yeah, the sale was not the catalyst, because the actual exam system is something that I had been running as an internal thing as AMS exams anyway. So the syllabus and everything is new, but it's new out there in the world. It's actually not new to me and to us and to the AMS staff. So for about the last 11 or 12 years, we had been running AMS piano exams, so that as the students got to a certain level in each of the courses, they could sit that exam. They were also welcome, and still are, to go and do any other exam board as well. But I think what we had really realised over the years of running the school was how tricky that can be, and all the hoops that one may have to jump through to be able to do those things. And running our own exam system, we had been able to really hone in on what the students needed and how to make it easy for the teachers. And so the timing definitely worked, that I can't run that and run that. You just can't. So as I was being a little bit more independent from AMS, made made the opportunity for me to put more time into this. So it was a good time to launch it. But the actual ideas and even the practice of doing it had been there already for quite a long time.
Right. So you were running these exams, the similar kind of exam, but inside your music school, and that was an offer for your students. They could go and do AMEB or Trinity or whatever it was, but they could also take AMS internal exams. And that's the product that you've now brought out into the wider community.
I think what happened was we would have other teachers who were not part of the AMS system, asking about these exams. You know, they'd have a friend or a neighbour who'd have an AMS piano exam certificate, and we'd get inquiries about that. And because it really was something that was just within the system, it was, yeah, no, sorry, you can't do this. So I guess what I've done now is developed it, rebranded it, extended it a little bit and gone, yes, okay, now you can do this as well. And that has been met with enthusiasm from teachers, and I think also a little relief because of some of the different ways in which we're approaching some of the things that they've always done.
Well, I'm really keen to dive in a little bit more into the exams. And I guess the first question I would have is, this is a crowded market. I mean, this is, well, by music teaching standards, it's like opening another cafe in Melbourne, quite close to another one. And we've got now the music teachers board in, we've got Conbrio, we've got a number of exam boards that are doing the online kind of or recorded exam options. And now, of course, during the pandemic, all the traditional exam boards had to pivot to online offerings too. So I'm really keen to hear first up, what do you feel sets Universal Music exams apart from the other boards?
Yeah, it's a really fair question. You're right. There are lots and lots of options out there. And I think lots of options is good. So what sets us apart, I think, is yes, you can submit video exams, but we also have a substantial in-person exam program as well. So it's not that you have to do a video and sit it online. You can actually choose. It's exactly the same exam, whether you turn up and play live or whether you send in a video. That's part of the flexibility.
So if flexibility is one of the main differences, what is there a preference for you for the video exams or in person? Because I imagine running two sets of options could take a lot of time and people and coordination and things like that. So genuinely, you can do either?
Makes no difference to me. I'm going to mark the exams exactly the same way, whether you come into one of our studios or whether you submit a video exam. It really, what I would be hoping is that teachers have the option to play to the strengths of their students. That is what I would be hoping. Realistically, because, you know, there are students who are better to turn up and play on the day and just go, well, I did what I could do. And there are students that are better to do three takes and get a little bit obsessive and, you know, try and work out which one to send in. And people are different. So, you have to kind of work to their strengths, I think. But I think the reality is that it's also about location and time frame and that sort of thing. And so the online world really has meant that you can submit from anywhere. So we do have students submitting from Hong Kong, students submitting from whoop whoop far north Queensland, you know, in terms of what would normally be my clientele. But we also have, at the moment, just in Sydney, but with other areas coming, exams in August and October and November, in-person exams where you can just, and exactly the same process. So when you get onto the website, the syllabus is the same. The presentation of the exam will be identical regardless of which format you choose. And it's literally click, do you want a video exam or do you want an in-person exam? And all the options come up. In the future, it would be lovely to think that we might also have in-person exams in other countries. I'm a bit of a traveller. I like being overseas, particularly now that I'm not spending so much time, you know, running a music school full time. Yeah, so, I'm going to be in the States next month and we do tend to travel a lot now. So it would be great to look at those things in the future. We really haven't been able to look at that the last few years, have we? Because getting on a plane was a bit fraught.
Of course.
But it's getting better.
That's right. It is. We're getting there. Yeah. So it's obviously a very new exam board. It's a year or so old in its current form. How many examiners do you have, or are you looking after most of that? And what instruments are you offering?
At the moment, it is piano I do have a brass syllabus because I've been approached by brass teachers. I've been approached by a few instrumental teachers, actually, but I've been approached by brass teachers, and that's in the testing phase. So it's on the website, but teachers need to have a code to be able to actually access the material, and it's being trialed right now. So that's kind of fun. That has been keeping me occupied for the first half of this year. But at the moment it is piano, and thus far all of the exams have been marked by myself, which I have absolutely loved and has been manageable so far. And in the future, I have some very dear colleagues who I would trust implicitly with this sort of thing. And so I think, you know, as we need to, I will add examiners to that. But I have been taking care of it all, as you say.
Right. It's quite fun to explore this because you're a startup, basically. You're an exam board startup, which I haven't really come across very many of those people starting an exam board. So I think it's a really interesting process. How did you go about actually, we should just find out a bit more about the requirements for the exams, piece choices, number of pieces, general knowledge, technical work, sight reading, theory. Tell us what do kids have to do, and hopefully maybe there's a creative improvisationary element at all.
Yes, absolutely. Got to have that. So I think, again, the word is flexibility. I really actually wanted flexible in my company title, but I couldn't work it out. I couldn't work out how to get it in there without
flexible
sounding really
music yuck. Exams.
That's kind of what I was after, you know, choice. It was all, you know, one of my friends calls it the choose your own adventure exam board. So,
I like it.
You know,
yeah.
I like all that kind of thing. But universal in the end, yes, okay, global, but that I meant, you know, the universal remote where you can use your one thing to access all these different things. I was kind of thinking that kind of universal. So there's a lot of choice. So teachers and students get to choose the repertoire. There's no list A, B, blah, 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 none of that. It's choose your own repertoire. And there are set pieces in the earlier levels. They disappear by the time you get to the higher grades. And any style, there's no need for this board for this style of student, this board for the classical style of student. They want to play pop. None of that. It's just we will happily take and examine all styles of music. And I think that just going back to other examiners, I'm very comfortable examining and adjudicating across those styles. And anyone who is examining with me in the future, that will be a real thing that they have to be comfortable doing that as well. And then who would have thought the best way of actually teaching scales and arpeggios and technical work is to do them in the keys of your pieces. So I just think this is such a game changer, and to me, almost a no-brainer, that if you're playing a piece in D major, then you should be playing the scales and the arpeggios and things like that in those keys. So the technical work, there is no random list. It is, you know, play the similar motion scale in the key of your first piece, play the arpeggio in the key of your second piece. And then there's a free choice scale. Come at me with modes and stuff. Like, you know, be creative, have some fun, you know. So the flexibility in the syllabus is built in. With the general knowledge, the concept is that it's all prepared. I don't like the idea in any kind of exams, whether it's a written theory exam or a piano exam of any type. I don't like the idea of the examiners trying to trick the student. You know, it's just like these kind of funny questions that weren't quite really on the list. I just feel like they need to, the whole purpose of general knowledge is not to trick them, and it's not even really a memory test. It's how well do you know the music you are playing? Do you know who wrote it? Where's the A section? What, you know, what's going on? It's just a musical thing. It's not a history lesson.
Yeah, and so, there should be things that good teachers explore with their students anyway.
Anyway, regardless of whether they have to.
Key. I mean, you have to know what key it in. What are the sharps, flats? What's the time signature mean? I mean, these are things that should be taught anyway.
So with the UME system, there is a list on the syllabus that says, for this grade, you will need to point to and explain the time signature, the key signature, and any eight VA signs needed. And so the kids literally, I keep saying kids, but actually we have quite a lot of adult students who sit these exams as well, because it's not so scary, not so, you know, traditional. And so they literally prepare their little presentation. So they will say, the title of this piece is, you know, with the music up on the music stand, and say, the title of this piece is da-da-da, which means this is the key signature, and that is an F sharp, which means that we are going to be in G major. This is the double bar line, and they just do their little presentation. And it doesn't matter whether they're live with me in the room or whether they're doing it via video, the format remains exactly the same. So I'm not asking them any questions that they may or may not know the answer to. It's all something that they've had a lovely time prepping with their teacher. Actually, it's an area that everybody really likes because they get to kind of, you know, put a little bit of personality into it.
Well, that's a change.
Talk about. Yeah. So that's kind of a fun bit.
Great. I like the approach.
And then we have this. Sorry.
I like the approach.
Oh, good. We have this area called essential skills, which basically wraps up kind of the sight reading, whatever. So our essential skills, though, are quick study, because, again, I wanted to make it something that whether it was in person or by video, the format remains identical, so that when teachers are preparing their students, there's not these ones are doing a video exam and this is different for a live. It's not. It's just identical. So in essential skills, there are different things that I believe are essential for modern day pianists to be able to do. I'm hoping that all of the teachers enjoy teaching all of those areas, but they actually pick one to present for their exam. So you can choose quick study, which is my version of sight reading, because really I've been a pianist for a very long time, and the number of times that I've been given something and not been able to just take a couple of minutes to play through it, I could count on one hand. Quick study, a couple of minutes is fine. So quick study, improvisation, which is either kind of chord pattern-y type stuff or making up a melody over some chords or whatever, and transposition. Yes, we all need
good.
To be able to transpose. Yay!
Yes, we need transposition.
So right from those early levels, it's just a little four-bar melody and then play it for me in two other keys. And composition is also one of the options. So I'm hoping that in presenting those as essential skills, teachers teach them all, and then the student actually picks something 10 days before the exam and says, I'm going to do that one. So there's an automated email 10 days before an exam, whether it's a live exam or the video due date, doesn't matter. And the 10 days before is, here are your essential skills. Have fun, play through them a couple of times with your teacher, and choose one that you're going to present for your exam. So in terms of content, pieces, scales, general knowledge, essential skills.
Holistic. I like it. Teachers and students everywhere deserve a sheet music experience that impresses, and that's precisely what you get from musicnotes.com, the largest online retailer of quality sheet music. It's all about the attention to detail with Music Notes. Because they're run by musicians for musicians, Music Notes holds every piece in their catalogue to the highest standards for the best experience from practice to performance. Music Notes has the perfect arrangement for every musician, and every purchase is available right away. No shipping, never out of print, and always in the right key. Simply print from the Music Notes website or use the free Music Notes apps to view your sheet music anywhere. And as an exclusive for our listeners, Music Notes are offering 25% off e-gift cards for a limited time. Visit musicnotes.com/topmusic to claim this exclusive offer. No code required. That's musicnotes.com/topmusic. With regard to the pieces, I know one thing teachers might be thinking is, oh, that's great that we've got free choice, but how are we sure that the level of the piece is the right level? I mean, I put together one of the exam board book series, and leveling music is really tough. I found that really quite difficult. So how should teachers, is there any list of recommended pieces?
So in the early levels, this is probably a good time to say that I know people sort of think in their head as early levels as preliminary. We should actually go back two levels. So there's a junior level and a junior plus level, which kind of equates to that very basic, you know, just got hands together stuff. And then junior plus a little bit more, but still before we even get to preliminary. And in those sort of early levels, it's set pieces so that the teachers don't have to look for anything really. And it's also free, and it's all on the website. So like the free PDF for you to send to your students, the free video of me playing it to send to your students, it's just all there. Because the reality is, as much as we would love our students to go out and buy absolutely anything that we tell them to, that is always a struggle. And I know that we need to break that. I believe that we need to make them buy more things. But I'm trying to make teachers' lives easier. Not necessarily parents' lives easier, but teachers' lives easier. And so having it there just at a click for them is, you know, really fabulous. So the syllabus is all there with the pieces and stuff all attached. And then as we move through and there is that free choice element, I think there really is a standardized expectation of a level. So if I say to you grade two, you probably have 100 grade two pieces just floating around in your head. And that is fine. It can come from any other exam board that has a list of grade two. There's Elisa Milne's beautiful Getting to Grade Two books, you know, with a whole collection. There's something like 36 pieces in those books. Anything that has a kind of a grade two label attached to it is absolutely fine. You can always email in and ask if teachers have got questions. But I like the idea of teachers having this totally open-ended range of material, and for them to be able to say, I wonder if that's grade two, and actually looking at it and comparing it themselves and feeling confident in their own, you know, kind of understanding of where that is. But look, I think there's enough standardized repertoire across various exam boards for us all to be able to pick a piece that is suitable for a particular level. I'm happy with that.
What kind of teachers are you trying to attract to UME?
Well, I don't think I set out with a particular goal in that respect, but the teachers that I am getting are people who have a level of frustration with any of the exam boards that they have been previously using, particularly when it comes to flexibility of booking and things like that. So, you know, I wish I designed our website, but the person who did design our website is an absolute genius. And, you know, the booking system, literally pick your own exam date. And if you break your arm, click on it and move your exam date up to 200 days in the future for free. You know, like just
simple
stuff
things
that we've never had. I've had two emails this week from people who are booked into exams like in the next fortnight. One's broken a finger in basketball, and can we please move the video exam? Yes, sure, that will be fine. Just click on that and do it yourself. Pick a new date. You know, and another one where the whole family's got COVID and they're all panicked about, you know, like this is actually real life. These things happen all the time.
Well, and even more so now. Isolation things are happening. So, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, whether you've booked an in-person or a video exam, you need, I think the world we live in, they just need the flexibility of being able to move those things if something happens. So that's all just inbuilt into the system without hefty fees and without, you know, all of that sort of thing. So I think
that's
the kind of
as well. I noted
free syllabus, free pieces, you know, lots of additional resources, all of that sort of stuff. So they're the people that I am attracting, the teachers that I'm attracting. But also, I think what I realized when I stopped running all of the AMS events is how much I love running events. And like that's been my whole life really is, you know, working from one event to another on the AMS calendar. And so one of the very first things I did last year was to launch the UME piano competition, which is October, November. So we had, and it'll be October, November this year, every year. And that was really fun. That was a completely online piano competition. So it was only video submission, lots of choices, and we had some fantastic prizes and some really great entrants. There's some stuff about it on the website. And then I just finished running the UME composition competition. So same thing, all online. You could submit an audio file or a video, lots of choices, lots of different categories, song with lyrics, piano composition, you know. And again, it was just so gorgeous to see 18 and under. So it's all students, you know, kids. Gorgeous to see some of the stuff that came in. And then I had beautiful, you know, some, again, friends and colleagues who were happy to offer themselves up as prizes. Because I was trying to think, what do composition kids actually need? You know, if you give them $100, they go spend it on their mountain bike. Well, that's not forwarding their composition skills, really. It's lovely. But, I mean, I know because I used to do it. give me money, I go buy clothes, you know.
Or food vouchers or whatever, yeah. So what have you done instead?
So I was trying to think what is actually really musically useful to these little creative people. And it's lessons with people who they don't normally have access to or lessons with. So, I mean, it was just, it's gorgeous. I've got Naomi Crellin, and she's going to have the little singer-songwriter kind of guys. Elissa Milne, someone's having two lessons with Elissa. Bradley Sowash and Lila Viss in the States. So they were the prizes, you know, as well as Kerry Barnes in the UK is broadcasting all of the compositions on her global radio show on One World Radio. So, you know, those are things that little composers can really benefit from as opposed to just, you know, being able to go buy clothes or whatever. So that's been really fun. And so that's attracting another, a whole other set of people who might not be looking for exam type stuff at all. In the USA, they don't really have an exam culture as much. So they are more interested in things like piano competition, composition competition. My new thing for the future is I'm planning adult piano retreat.
Oh, in-person weekend away kind of thing?
Yeah, get to come nice. And work on your own piano skills.
I'm picturing somewhere fabulous in the Blue Mountains or something like that.
It's fabulous on the Northern Beaches.
Northern Beaches, very nice. Yeah. Yes. Oh, what a great idea. Great idea. One of the other things that often comes up in Facebook groups discussion about exams is, you know, if my student does AMEB, is it going to be recognised if they travel to India or Asia or UK? So how does UME sit with recognition at the moment and what's going to happen in the future?
Yeah, great question. I very deliberately set this syllabus up that it goes from junior, so the very, very early, two levels below preliminary, through to grade six, and then it stops. And I didn't do that because I don't want to examine grade seven and eight and onwards. I love that level. I did that because I really honestly think that at that point, teachers need to be choosing something that's going to benefit each individual student. If you're in Queensland at that point, are you going to get whatever those points are into university in Queensland? If you're in New South Wales, there are some universities, it seems to keep changing all the time, who offer additional, like a bonus ATAR point or whatever, if you've done a certain XYZ. It's really not consistent and it changes all the time. But, you know, I've got students who kind of got to grade six and then I had to look around and go, well, what do you want to do? And some of them are enrolled in online programs with Juilliard and taking sort of the testing stuff through them. Or, you know, it may be that they do a traditional board Australian diploma exam at that point. But I feel like from beginner to grade six, we really needed to have something that was flexible and accessible and friendly and, you know, user-friendly for everybody, regardless of style, which is just kind of making it really a positive experience for everybody without sacrificing the quality and the integrity of what you're actually getting. Friendly and nice doesn't mean everybody's going to get an A. I'm a really tough examiner and I like to make sure that my reports never just say that was lovely, darling. You know, I really give very concrete feedback. But it's all, you know, I want them to feel good. I want them to relax when they come in. You know, it's all about the positive experience. But I think having something that works up to about grade six, that works really well because after that, I really feel that teachers have a responsibility to look into their individual student and to work out what is going to work for them. So as a result, we're not endorsed by anybody. We're not, you know, it's just this will work for everybody. Here is all the stuff. It's free. It's accessible. You'll get really great feedback. And then when you get to grade seven, please do some research and work out what is out there. Do they want to be a piano teacher? Great. Go do a little pedagogy type things. You know, do they want to be a composer? Great. Let's do this. But I think that at that point, it really changes from student to student. And it's important to recognize that. And the other thing is Australian teachers do seem to have this, there's been some really great marketing somewhere back there in the past because Australian teachers seem to have this idea that there is one or possibly two exam boards that are recognised. It's kind of really just not true. Once you leave Australia, I've spent an awful lot of time outside Australia teaching in Kenya and all sorts of things. They've never heard of any of our exam boards, not one bit. So it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to say, if you say I did grade six, no one's going to say with which board. That has never happened my whole life. No one has ever said, oh, what exam board was that? And it just doesn't happen.
I can see this approach working for the students who have have teachers who work really flexibly with them and explore lots of different repertoire of all different types. They do composing with them. They get out garage band. They do all the kinds of things that I believe in makes up an integrated approach to music teaching. I could see this working because one of the challenges teachers of that flexible approach have is that if they don't fit into a particular model, they can struggle to find milestones for the students to achieve. And I can see from what you've been saying, Michelle, that the UME system allows that flexibility that would mean that someone who is doing a really a bit of everything could still have a milestone to achieve. We're going to do grade three. It's with UME later in this year, and it's great because we can contribute just about anything that you've done this year towards it, and we can get a bit of paper. We can have that recognised, and then we can look for the same for the future years. Because there are lots of students out there who really do thrive on, I've got an assessment coming up.
Oh, absolutely. Goals. It doesn't matter what the goal is, whether you're submitting a composition for feedback or whether you have to have these pieces ready for an exam. Goal, like the structure of the year is just, you know, that's how you get the best out of students anyway, isn't it? Just to have something to work towards. So totally agree.
Good. So you've mentioned there's a lot of free stuff out there, but I assume to take an exam there is a cost. So can you tell us about the costs and also about where these are available at the moment? Can someone listening, we've got a big audience in America, can someone in America take one of your online exams?
Yes, and we've just had our first couple of bookings for our video exams from the States, and I'm so grateful. I chatted to Carly Walton a little while ago, and I think that probably was our kind of intro into the world over there. So look, for particularly for Americans with the exchange rate right now, we're cheap. It's definitely a low-cost exam system. It starts from about $48 Australian through to about $108 Australian, depending on the level. So, you know, we're quick. You get everything's back to you in a 10-day window. So everything happens on the website. So it's universalexams.com.au. It's supposed to work without the AU. Due to modern magic, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. But if you do .com.au, you will end up in the right spot. And then the whole syllabus is there. The booking system is there. The August in-person exams are there right now. And in the next day or two, I'm listing October, November, so that people who would like to do a Sydney in-person exam are able to book those things now. But the other thing I think is that you can wait until I love the idea with my students of waiting till they are ready. So I don't go, oh my gosh, you know, you've all got to sit an exam in August. That's just not how I work. So I just work through with them flexibly with whatever they're doing. And then you can book an exam just 10 days away. You know, you don't have to be.
Yeah, see, that's a huge frustration for lots of teachers, is this 3-month out window that some of the other exam boards require.
Or six.
Or, okay, I didn't know it was that bad. I mean, and I understand they're big organisations. There's a lot of moving parts. But honestly, with the online systems available now,
it's not that hard.
It's too hard to plan that far out in the world we live in now.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I had a student just the other day and I said, wow, I actually think we should just do a grade four kind of now. You've played like 11 grade four pieces. We've done all this stuff. So suddenly he's just sort of suddenly gone zhoosh and done a whole lot of work. And so, great, let's just do it now. Why don't you just choose either, you know, do a video exam or whatever and off we go. 10 days time, you can submit. So I think that's a bit of a game changer as well.
Absolutely. So in wrapping things up, Michelle, it's been great chatting about what you've created and congratulations. I know how hard starting something from scratch is. You've already done it once. You're doing it again. What is the goal for the future? Where would you like to see UME go in the future?
Yeah, I think the events side of things is obviously something that I really enjoy, and so I'm looking forward to creating more of those types of things as well. And just getting the word out there to teachers that it's okay to take a breath and do something that suits you and your students rather than feeling squeezed into something, you know, just because we've always done something one way doesn't always mean that it's the best way. And it's certainly these days not the only way. And just to encourage people to look outside the square, the number one response that I'm getting is teachers who know the syllabus that they've been using feel like they don't have the brain space and time to kind of look outside at anything else. And it's a bit like, oh, yeah, look, that looks great, but I just can't think about it at the moment. Too hard. And I really do understand that. I've created a teacher page on the UME website. So it literally says, start here, click on this. If you want to have a look at what we've got, click here and see this, click here and see this, click here and here's the videos. And just like making it, breaking it down. And it helps a lot for people who don't come from an exam culture too, who are just looking to set goals and get, you know, some extra repertoire maybe, and aren't even really interested in exam, just where to find all that stuff and sort of how to put it together. But I am so interested in making teachers' lives easier. I've spent my life training teachers and being a teacher, and I know what all of that feels like, and I know what all of their concerns are. And I guess that was where I was coming from with this, to make it a really positive experience for students, but to make life much easier and more enjoyable, hopefully, for teachers. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for in the future.
Sounds great. And you better remind us all of the website one more time.
Okay, universalmusicexams.com.au.
Fantastic. Go check it out. Thanks so much for coming on the show today, Michelle, and I wish you all the best with it in the future.
Thanks, Tim. So nice to chat.
Great to see you. I hope you enjoyed today's episode unpacking UME exams. If you'd like to find out more about it, then make sure you check out all the details online as we've discussed today. And that's the end of the show this week. Next week on the podcast, we're going to be unpacking our most popular course of all time. It's one of my first courses I created, and it's called No Book Beginners. What's it all about, and why might you want to give it a go if you haven't tried it already? Well, we'll find out this time next week. Until then, I'm Tim Topham, and you've been listening to the Topcast. Hope you have a great week ahead, everyone. I'll speak to you soon. For more information about this episode and to find out how to enhance your own teaching, visit topmusic.co. You'll find everything you need for your studio, from lesson plans to cheat sheets, quick win teaching ideas, and guides on how to build your teaching business. Plus, you'll be connected to a global community of the world's top music teachers. And when you're ready, join hundreds of other teachers around the world by becoming a Top Music Pro member and get access to all our bonus content and flagship courses. And don't forget to follow topmusic.co on social media and subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to it. That's all for today. We'll see you in the studio.